أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. So we finished the issue of جهالة, يعني مجهول العين, مجهول الحال, and مبهم. فقال المؤلف, يعني the مؤلف, the author here says, ثم البدعة. Then we talk about بدعة. That's a very important subject, especially for our times, because people go to different extremes, as in everything else, having to do with bid'ah. So the mu'allif here says, إِمَّا بِمُكَفِّرْ أَوْ مُفَسِّقْ. يعني either it makes the one who does that bid'ah a kafir, مُكَفِّرْ, يعني kafir, or it makes him a fasiq. مُفَسِّقْ, يعني makes him a fasiq. فالأول, and I'm reading from Nukhba right now, and then we'll get to the explanation from Nuzha, inshallah. فمؤلف here he says, فالأول, يعني the first, what does that mean? That means the bid'ah that makes a person a kafir. فالأول, يعني أن يكون بمكفر, يعني makes him a kafir. And then when he talks about this in Nuzha, in Nuzha al-Nadhar, he explains, he says, after ثم البدعة وهي سبب الثامن من أسباب التعن في الراوي. So this is the eighth sabab of criticizing a narrator in hadith, طيب, a rawi, which is that the narrator was a mubtadi', a person of bid'ah. So the first is where he becomes a kafir. Yani the innovation is such that the person becomes a kafir. Or the second is the innovation is such that he's still a Muslim, but he's a fasiq. Now, this is important for us. Why? Because in our time, you have two extremes again. One, if somebody does anything that could possibly even bina ala al-khilaf, and even based on a disagreement, be considered bid'ah, they will attack them in a way that you wouldn't believe. And even if you, as Sheikh Wasiul Abbas said, he said, you know, even if you meet with somebody that they just have a personal issue with, they will say, this guy is a mubtadi', and how could, and now you are a mubtadi' because you met a mubtadi'. And if somebody is sick, a scholar from Islam, and you visit them in the hospital, you tell them, you are a mubtadi', why did you go visit this scholar? And one of the brothers, he gave an example. He said, I was in a place and I saw a Muslim, yani with a beard and all of that, wife was in niqab, and their car was broken down, so I stopped my car, I went, I helped them. Somebody driving by, and this is in the United Kingdom, so there's a lot more Muslims there than here, or at least concentrated. Somebody driving by saw me helping that person, they knew that person, and had some personal issues between some shuyukh of his and theirs, and he called me that night, he said, you're a mubtadi', I'm stopping talking to you. He said, I told him why. He said, because you were helping that mubtadi'. He said, I didn't even know who he was, I just saw a Muslim on the side of the road. So, people go to this extreme. The other extreme is even with the Rafida, even with the people who are the people of bid'ah, people of shirk, people who are kuffar because they're bid'ah. Some of them, they worship graves. Some of them believe in wahdatul wujud. They believe that Allah is physically in everything, na'udhu billah, and things like this. They will sit with them and they will send their children to learn from them, and they will yani, sit in conferences with them. Yani, this is another extreme. The Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as Ibn Hajar Asqalani will mention and explain, we take a middle path there. First thing you need to understand, not every bid'ah is the same. Certain bid'ahs, if you do them, you become kafir. For example, istighadha, which is that they go to a qabr of somebody, yani al-wali or whatever, and they ask the wali to fulfill their needs. And this makes them a kafir. This is kufr, right? Because instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are going to a qabr and thinking the one in the qabr can respond to your dua, not tawassul. This is worse than tawassul. Right? So tawassul is when you go and make the person a wasila, which is also not proven for to go to the graves of people and so on. But you need to understand the difference. If somebody does something, like for example, if somebody goes to the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says that, oh Allah, forgive me due to the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's one thing. طيب? But that doesn't make them a kafir. طيب? On the other hand, they go to the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, oh Messenger of Allah, you are the one that answers the dua. instead of Allah. And the people do that. They say, oh, Master Allah, you are the one that answers the dua. You answer my dua. That makes them a kafir. So first thing, you have to separate between that. Not every bid'ah is the same. And not everything that is considered a bid'ah can make the person who does it a mubtadi'. And this is something you have to kind of think about. I know some of the brothers who watch like 10-second YouTube clips and thought they were ulama will be like, their head will be spinning right now. But inshallah, take it easy. It'll be all right. Tayyib, what does that mean? Some things, there is khilaf. There is khilaf of ulama, whether it's bid'ah or not. And khilaf, يعني بنا على الدليل, يعني it is based on adilla. For example, and this is just to clarify a lot of our brothers who may have even studied but don't realize these concepts. Tayyib, for example, Salatul Tasabih. Tayyib, Salatul Tasabih. It is a type of salah. It's kind of an odd method when you make certain adhkar and ruku and so on and so on. You can find in the books of hadith. There is khilaf ulama on this, whether this is thabitun or la. Tayyib, some ulama thought this is not proven, this is a bid'ah. Including the four a'imma, none of the four a'imma themselves, Abu Hanifa and Malik and Shafi and Ahmad radiallahu anhum, none of them themselves accepted it to be an established salah. Many a'imma and ulama after them, they called it a bid'ah, including a Shaykhuna ibn Uthaymeen and others. On the other hand, many a'imma and ulama looked at the ahadith about him, saw the weaknesses in them, but felt that they strengthened each other and they established, they said, you know, this is an established salah. Including An-Nabawi and Ibn Hajar and also in our time, Shaykhuna Albani, rahmatullah alayhi. Tayyib, now, Shaykh Albani takes that it's sunnah. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen takes that it's bid'ah. Now, Shaykh Albani does it. Do we go and say Shaykh Albani is a mubtadi'? La. If you listen to Shaykh Albani, do we say you're a mubtadi'? La. If you call it a bid'ah, yani, on the other hand, for example, I'll give you another example. Wada' al-yadayn ba'd ar-ruku', yani, to put the hands on the chest after ruku'. Many of the a'imma and ulama from the past, including Ibn Hazm and al-Zahiri and others, they thought to be sunnah. They looked at the ahadith that yani, have ishara towards istidlalan. Our shuyukh, for example, Shaykhuna Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, Shaykhuna Salih al-Fawzan, Shaykhuna Muhammad Salih ibn Uthaymeen, Shaykh Bakr Abu Zayd, and these shuyukh, I mean, that we love and respect, they took this to be sunnah. After ruku', you fold the hands back on your chest. Shaykhuna Albani, rahmatul alayh, he said, I don't see a sarih dalil for this. This is a bid'ah. Tayyib. Now, does that mean Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen is a mubtadi'? La. Or Shaykh ibn Baz, or Shaykh ibn Jibreen, or Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, and Shaykh, all these shuyukh that you can list that did take it to be sunnah and did this action, that Shaykh Albani called a bid'ah, does that mean they're all mubtadi'? La. Why? Here you have a khilaf upon adillah. A khilaf upon evidences. So here, even if you disagree, for example, al-Shafi'i, rahmatullah alayhi, the great scholar, Imam al-Shafi'i, he took for you to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim out loud when you're leading salah or you're praying out loud. He said that you recite Bismillah out loud. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the Basmala. Other a'imma and ulama said this is not established. Now, if somebody says it out loud, do you call them mubtadi'? La. Shafi'i and those ulama who followed him, they have their adilla. Even if you say rajih, something may be rajih, something may be a stronger opinion, that no, you say the bismillah silent. This is rajih, no doubt. But if somebody does it, you don't call them mubtadi'. Tayyib, now I'll give you a different case scenario. Just to understand this concept before we get into accepting narrators who have these kinds of disagreements. What about the mawlid al-nabi? Yani the mawlid. Tayyib, there are a'imma and ulama who accept the mawlid, but where is the dalil? Yani we don't see any adilla, sarihan, like clearly, that mention it in the Quran or in any ahadith. There is no hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged this ummah for mawlid. Then none of the sahaba radiyanhum, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and Ibn Abbas and Ibn Umar and Al Khulafa and others, Hassan and Hussein, none of them radiallahu anhum, none of them Aisha radiallahu anhum, none of them accepted it. None of the salaf of this ummah, yani from the first three generations did it. Abu Hanifa didn't, Malik didn't, Shafi'i didn't, Ahmad, Dawud al-Zahiri, al-Awza'i, none of them. May Allah have mercy on all of those great ulama in Islam. So now, even if some alim takes this qawl, that's still a bid'ah, and the one who does it is a mubtadi'. Tayyib, if somebody celebrates the mawlid, are they kafir? La. Some people, subhanAllah, if you wipe your face after salah with your hands, khalas, you're kafir. Na'udhu billah. This is wrong. Even though the ahadith about wiping the face after dua are da'if, but some of the a'imma, like Ibn Hajar Asqalani, he thought them to be hasan li ghayrihi. So if somebody does it, we don't call them a mubtadi', they have adilla. Tayyib. But if somebody doesn't do it because the ahadith are not established, alhamdulillah, that's fine. But when you get to issues like mawlid, that khilaf is where no doubt this is a bid'ah, and even if certain ulama take that opinion, it does not make it a sunnah. It does not make it khilaf bana ala dalil. It's not khilaf where it is based upon adilla. But as I said, somebody celebrating mawlid is still Muslim. It doesn't mean we don't say salam to them in a general sense. Now, you can stop the salam to them if they are callers towards bid'ah, and if you think that that relation would then increase their bid'ah, and there are certain shurut and criteria for that. I'm not going to get into that here. But they are still Muslim. Tayyib. Now somebody brings a bid'ah where they feel like... I won't mention names, sorry. Like somebody up in the Bay Area from an institute, what's it called? Teen? No, something else. Tayyib, where they said that all the religions, they merge, meaning they all go to the same God through different paths. I saw a person's statement myself. Tayyib, meaning that all religions are valid. No religion has exclusive rights to the truth. Now this bid'ah takes you outside the fold of Islam. Why? Because other adiyan, other religions are false. Islam is the only religion in the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some bid'at, they take you outside the fold of Islam. For example, in some of the countries, they have a bid'ah. Indonesia, I saw myself, where they actually, even though they say they're Muslim, these people say they're Muslim, but they make sujood and do ibadah of their ancestors. And they go, and they actually make sujood to their ancestors and pray, make ibadah like you do to Allah, to ancestors. But they say we're Muslim. These are just our awliya, these are our ancestors, and they get us closer to Allah, so we make sujood to them. So now this bid'ah, when you make ibadah of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, takes you outside the fold of Islam. So these are some of the differences. And in our aqidah durus, we discuss this more in detail, but I wanted to explain this. So Ibn Hajar Asqalani in Nuzhat al-Nadr, then he explained that the Jamhur al-Ulama, they differentiated between these. So they said, there are those that takes you outside of Islam, and those that take you to become fasiq, a deviant, but still Muslim. And thus, the majority do not accept Jamhur. They do not accept from al-Awwal, yani this is from the one who becomes kafir. Tayyib. Though it is said that it is accepted mutlaqan, yani there are some a'imma and ulama that said that mutlaqan, yani you do accept it, even if they are kuffar, from their bid'ah. And this is to show you that there is some khilaf ulama, even though what is rajih, as Ibn Hajar is saying, that you do not. And it is also said that it is accepted if the person does not believe in the permissibility of lying to assist his opinion. Tayyib. Now Ibn Hajar is giving you some of the different opinions amongst the early ulama of hadith. Some of the a'imma and ulama said, even if somebody is a mubtadi', that makes them a kafir, but they were somebody of good moral character as far as their salah and siyam and not lying and things like this, and they had precision in memory, we can still accept hadith from them, because their bid'ah was something that they sincerely felt was correct, even if it made them a kafir. Now this is not the correct opinion, and this is not the opinion of the Jamhur. But Ibn Hajar is saying that there are those. Other a'imma, they said that you could accept it unless this person was such that he believed that it's okay to lie. Tayyib, who is that? One of the groups, for example, the Rafida, the Shia, they have taqi'a, yani they have this part of their religion where you can lie and fool people and get a reward for it. So, in that case, if you know the person practiced such, now they're liars, they're kadhab. So even those ulama that said we can accept from them said we cannot accept from those whose bid'ah is such that it includes that them feeling that it's permissible to lie. As a Muslim, you should never lie. A Muslim should try. Even everybody makes mistakes, but everybody, every Muslim should try to always tell the truth. Even if you lose a debate, even if you come out as being wrong, you should stick to the truth. The reality is that every report of a mubtadi' that leads to disbelief will not be rejected. And this is Ibn Hajar Asqalani explaining in Nusratul Nadar. Meaning, the usul will be, as he mentioned earlier, that person who's a mubtadi', who's a person of bid'ah, who is mutlaqan a kafir, then his ahadith will not be accepted. But that doesn't mean that this is always the case. And he gives an example. He says, because every sect, every group claims the opposing to be people of bid'ah and sometimes exaggerate those claims to declare them as kuffar. And that's an important point. Sometimes people throw the accusation of bid'ah and even the accusation of bid'ah that's mukaffir very lightly. So just because some accusation has been thrown doesn't mean those ahadith are always going to be rejected. You have to further evaluate whether that was the case or not, whether there are other evidences that support it or not, and so on. And this is the, if the opinion is to be accepted generally, I mean, if you say that anybody who has called anybody else a mubtadi', the one who was called a mubtadi', their ahadith will not be accepted, then he says, then the narrations will be very few. Yani it will be very few ahadith for us to even look at, because there are many who were accused of bid'ah when they were not mubtadi'. And it's very important. Many people will go out to see somebody, and because of their own lack of knowledge, they will call the person a mubtadi'. Yani they will go and see somebody and call them a person of bid'ah because they don't have enough knowledge to know what they're doing is sunnah. So if you just take accusations, then everybody's narrations will be thrown out. And there are some aqwal of ulama that there is jarh being made on everybody except Abdullah ibn Mubarak and so on. Even though, this is something that's just a generalized statement. It's not, if you look at many rawis, there are rawat and hadith who nobody made jarh of. So that doesn't, it's not a mutlaqan statement. But that means everybody, many people, for example, many imma and ulama, I don't want to give names, but there was other imma and ulama that made jarh of them, who criticized them. For example, Duhili and Imam Bukhari, they had an issue between each other and they both criticized each other. But it doesn't mean that because Imam Bukhari was criticized by Imam Duhili, who was also a great scholar, it doesn't mean that Imam Bukhari was off and you don't accept his hadith. Tayyip. So he says, but what we have to look at is what are the things that are mutawatir in the Sharia and those who will be, who reject such things. Like for example, those people whose bid'ah is such that they reject some of the established aqa'id of Islam. For example, the Mu'tazila, they would reject the Qur'an being the kalam of Allah, even though this is established through the Qur'an itself and many ahadith and the aqidah of the Salaf and so on. So those things then make it that we do not accept a lot of their reports. But not every Mu'tazili is the same. He's the same as the one who does not oppose those things in the Sharia if they have some bid'ah, but they don't oppose the established mutawatir ilm al-yaqini that's been established in the Sharia, then maybe their rawaya could be accepted. You have to evaluate. As for those narrations, the fact is that they have